dare you to do stuff. He's excited.
No, come on. Who's ever taken? Come on. You're thinking Double Dog Dare and you're going, I don't know. Last time I had one of those. Like who's ever taken some crazy dare that someone, yeah, okay, who's ever made someone else do some crazy dare, right? Like you, yeah, we've all done this and we all know, oh no, if you're daring me to do something, it's probably not going to be good. Either it's going to be embarrassing, it's going to get me humiliated, it's going to get me hurt. There's a whole list of things and they're all bad, right? When we take a dare, usually we're thinking that's what's going to happen. Here's the hope for this series about being dared. The hope is we'll dare you to do something actually good. We'll dare you to do something that will improve your relationship with God and your ability to follow Him and love Him. We're going to talk about different parts of our life. The last 4 weeks, we're going to talk about children and parenting and all sorts of different tools in that tool bag to be able to do that well. We're going to dare you to parent better. We're going to talk about being emotionally healthy. How do we process and deal with emotions in our relationship with God? We're going to talk about our work life. Often we don't talk about what it means to, most of us have jobs. Most of us in this room work somewhere or with someone or we run a business or something. What does it mean to take God into that place? We're going to dare you to do that intentionally. And this week, I'm going to dare you to get in shape. Uh-oh. Oh, no, Pastor Nate, you wouldn't do that. Yeah, I'm going to dare you today to get healthy. I'm going to dare you today to get healthy. I want to dare you to take a step toward getting in shape. To take, and not just any shape, but good shape, to commit some step in your life, some step toward physical health, no matter where you're at now. If you're super healthy, if you think you're super unhealthy, it doesn't really matter. From where you are, my double dog dare today is to take a step in the direction of health. Why? Well, first, I think some of you are going, why are we even talking about this? Why are we talking about this in church? Here's some things I'm learning, maybe, as I'm getting a little older. Some of you laugh at that. The way you treat your body does have a profound impact on your life, on your ability to do even the things that God is calling you to do. We know lots of things in our country. And if you want to be sort of, I got a little depressed at this. If you want to be a little depressed, start just like Googling like health in the U.S. or like effects of health in the U.S. or what, just do that once. It gets really sad really fast. And I had to stop because you'll find all sorts of things. We spend more money on healthcare than we ever have before. We know that if a healthy person goes into the hospital for the exact same thing that a moderately sick or moderately overweight or moderately not as healthy person would go in for, so a heart attack. You have a pretty healthy person and a not healthy person that go in for a heart attack. The health costs are like 50% more. The recovery time is way longer for those who are unhealthy. I mean, you just start researching things and it gets harder and harder as you read these things going, man, we got a lot of work to do. So we know from many different things. It affects our ability to work. It affects our ability to focus. It affects so much stuff. The way we treat our bodies has a profound impact on every day of our life. And even more, Scripture talks about this stuff. We'd be ignoring parts of Scripture if we didn't talk about this. Because it does talk about stuff. And some of you like me are going, I didn't come to church for a fitness lesson, Nate. Don't give me like a 10-week plan to lose 50 pounds. I already feel bad enough about the entire box of Girl Scout cookies I ate last night. Come on, who knows Thin Mints don't come in singles, right? They come in sleeves, right? It's like I ate a sleeve of Thin Mints. There is no one cookie when it comes to, is that just me? Come on, that's a confession, but I think all of you agree with me, right? So this is not to make anyone feel bad about how many Girl Scout cookies we did or did not eat. We want to talk about this because Scripture talks about it and because it has a profound effect on our life. And it's one of the ways that something in our life conquers us and sort of begins to dominate our life really easily instead of it being a tool that we use to serve us in our life. And I think that that's why Scripture frequently talks about it. So we're going to talk about this in terms of double dog dare. So we're going to talk about it in terms of the classic game truth or dare, except we're going to go truth and dare. We're going to give you truth and some dares that go along with the truth. So we're going to be throughout 1 Corinthians in a couple different verses and chapters. We're going to bounce around quite a bit. But to get you excited about today, to get you pumped up for today, I have a motivational video for you this morning. Top of the world.
This is the end. Beautiful friend, this is the end. my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans. The
I love it. It's like a push-up and a crunch at the same time. If that didn't get you excited for this morning, I don't know what will. Okay, we're going to get going. Truth. We started with truth. That was just totally for fun. That was to wake you up, get you paying attention. And it's funny. That's a cheese commercial, by the way. Must be some really good cheese. Here's the truth for today. Your body is a gift from God. You can idolize it, you can abuse it, or you can care for it. Your body is a gift from God. You can idolize it, you can abuse it, or you can care for it. I think we see throughout Scripture that our bodies are given to us as a gift by our Heavenly Father, that it's something special, it's something wonderful, it's something to be valued, and we see frequently that Scripture will talk about in negative terms either idolizing that the body or abusing the body, and that what really God wants for us is to care for it, to care for our body. So we're going to start simply with this: your body's a gift to you from God. We can go all the way back and start in Genesis to see this. If you start at the beginning of Genesis and just think through what happens, we see that God creates man, right? Man and woman. And when he does that, he gives them a body. We didn't have to do that. We didn't have to be created with bodies, but we were. There's something about God's unique design for humanity that includes the physical being. And it's something that reflects his glory and his honor and his design for humanity. It wasn't an accident. God doesn't hate your body or wish you didn't have one. I feel like I've often heard, or maybe even at times in my life, believed that sort of the spirit is what's good and the physical is what's bad. But if we look at Genesis, that's certainly not the case. Whatever God designed us to be originally included a physical body. We're even promised that whatever it looks like when we're raised from death to be with Jesus forever, that we'll have a body. 1 Corinthians 15, for example, in verse 53 will say, "For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die, our mortal bodies transformed into immortal bodies." That whatever it means to have a body, it continues on forever. It is transformed and it is made into something new, but it still is a body. I take from that reality that you will always have one, and that whatever the physical body is, it is an important or an integral part of how God made humanity to be. It's part of his wonderful design for you, that you have a body. It goes further than that if you're a follower of Jesus. If you're a follower of Christ, Scripture says your body doesn't even belong to you anymore. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." The body isn't yours, 1 Corinthians says. When you come to relationship with Christ, when he redeems you, restores you to relationship with your Heavenly Father, then this says your body belongs to him. It becomes his residence. That's even deeper. He begins to live in you. Your body becomes his temple. I was thinking this morning as I drove up to the church, walked up to the church, I guess, because I live next door. All of you laugh at me. I was looking at the building, and I was like, what if I walked up this morning, or what if you walked up this morning, and there was someone outside the building, you know, throwing rocks at the windows, or there was someone outside with a giant spray can, and they were graffitiing the side of the church building. Like, what have your response been to that? I'm hoping you would have stopped them, right, or called the police or something. My guess is most of you would have, like, hey, buddy, or talk to him. Why are you doing that, right? We would get really defensive of this building. But we don't do a very good job of protecting our body, the thing in which God actually resides. He's here this morning because you're here this morning. You brought him with you, right? He promised to meet with us when we're together. So the building is not nearly as important as your body as far as a house or a place where God resides, but we can be far more defensive of a building. The body, God says, is where he resides and it belongs to him. Ultimately, that's going to make us responsible for it, for what we do with it. Okay, so what do? We often go to one of two extremes when we talk about this. We go to one of two extremes. We go to the extreme of idolizing overvaluing the body, or we go to the extreme often of abusing the body or undervaluing the body. Let's look at those two, because Scripture talks about both of them. If we know that this body belongs to God and it's meant to be used for His purposes and it's a gift from Him, what does it look like, and why does Scripture address the idea that we might idolize it, and why does it address the idea that we might abuse it? Idolizing first. appearance, fashion, fitness, all this kind of stuff, right? It can be over-exaggerated and can consume you. You could probably think right now in your life of someone you know who is over-consumed by something about their body. It could be their fashion. It could be their fitness. It could be who knows what. You name it. Their hairstyles, something. It's not just that they have them. It's that they're consumed by them, right? You probably know someone. Hopefully you're not that person, but some of us may have been there at points in our life. We could be obsessive about controlling the way we look, whether that's too many trips to take care of, whatever it is, too many trips to the store, controlling what we eat so severely because we want to look a certain way. There's all sorts of different ways we do this, but we sort of idolize the way we look or a part of about how we look, and it becomes an extreme, and it creates an idol, something that competes with your first allegiance to God in your heart. We can see God sort of talking about this, and I'll give you at least two places. In 1 Samuel 16, 7, this is the point when they're going to pick David to be the next king. And God says to them, he says, you guys look at the outside. You look and you judge people based on the way that they look. But I look at them and I size them up by what's going on in their heart. The appearance is deceiving. I really look at the heart to judge them. And essentially what he's saying is there might be some value in outward appearance or in physical body, but what's really valuable to him is the heart. And so if we overemphasize the external, we lose the internal. Or for instance, 1 Timothy 4:8, Paul talks to Timothy and he says this, physical exercise is good. He starts there, right? Like it's good to take care of the body, but he says, you might say spiritual fitness is better. It's more valuable because it benefits you not just now, but forever. So we can idolize this outside appearance, put too much value in it, and it can overtake life. I've had friends that have had to stop working out, right? Because it became the thing they lived for. I remember that in college a few times. I've had people who've had to work on the way they eat because they were dieting so severely because they wanted to control the way they look, and it becomes an idol. I have a quote on both idolizing and abusing from Kevin Myers, a pastor in our denomination. He talked about this issue. One, on the side of idolizing, he said this, when you idolize your body, you distort and over-elevate as appearance often controls you. We start to make decisions based on how it will affect our body, and it essentially becomes the thing that drives us. But we can go the other way too, right? We can go to the opposite extreme. We can abuse the body. Some researchers, and who knows, like researchers have too much time on their hands. Some researchers who have too much time on their hands researched essentially how much time you spend eating between the age of 20 and 50. 20,000 hours, they say. That's 833 full days of your 30 years of your life. So 833 days of eating. And those are good days, right? I like those days. Those are the best days. I didn't even get an amen there. Yes, we love to eat, don't we? We love to eat. And there's much of Scripture that celebrates that gift, that talks about it as a good thing. It's good that you can enjoy food and drink. We're designed to eat. It's a good thing. We ought to enjoy that. It's a good gift. But good gifts can be abused, can't they? It can be misused. Instead of us sort of consuming something, it can consume us. There's a great Philippians 3, verse 19. There's this great verse, which if you read it, I'll give you a little context to it, though. It's people who he's writing to. They're saying these people sort of believe there's nothing deeper going on in life. There's no spiritual realm. And so what they have in front of them is really all that they have to fill their desires and their appetites. And so he writes this phrase, Paul does, where he says their stomach, essentially he says this in Greek, their stomach is their God. Essentially, their appetite for food has become the thing that drives them. They've filled this sort of void in them with food or with snacks or with drink or with alcohol or with all sorts of things that they intake to fill this appetite or this need. And it controls them. It becomes their God. We live in a world that will pretty much dare you to indulge any of your appetites. in every area of life, but definitely in this area of food. The number of commercials on television, if you watch the Super Bowl, that relate to food, really good-looking food, by the way, that I would like to eat all of, there's a lot of them. And they will dare you to eat as much as you want. And when we live according to that reality, consistently just feeding this deep desire of our stomach, as Philippians would say, our appetite becomes a god. And it leads to what Scripture eventually will call gluttony, the thing which then dominates our life. It's abuse of the body. We're not taking care of the body. About abuse, Kevin Mayer said this: when you abuse your body, you distort or devalue it, and indulgence often controls you. You've devalued, you haven't seen the deep value of your body, or you've distorted it, and that indulgence begins to control you. Either end of the extreme are going to cost you, right? It's going to cost you if you idolize. It's going to cost you if you abuse. How do you find the middle ground? How do you find the ground where we care for this gift that God has given us? I would encourage you not to search that or find books in the library, at least right away, because there are answers like crazy to that question, aren't there? What kind of diet should I go on? What kind of workout should I do? I mean, there's a million answers to these questions. And we all, if I even just asked you in this room, what would you do? I'd get 100 different answers. I'm not going to tell you anything radical today. I'm not going to give you some solution. I simply want to encourage you. I think we can find really practical advice for evaluating ways to take care of our body in 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 12. While he's not specifically, I don't think, talking about this issue, it's very relevant and very practical what he says, because this kind of touches a lot of issues. But it's really applicable, I think, here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. What he says is this: everything is permissible, allowable, lawful for me, but not all things are helpful, good for me to do, expedient, or profitable when considered with other things. Everything's lawful for me, but I will not become the slave of anything or be brought under its power. A good question as we try to care for our bodies, a question that might help us make determinations in this category, to not abuse them, to not idolize them, we might ask the question of what's really beneficial, not just what is permissible. What will keep us from becoming the slave of something else? Let's just look at maybe two of the most common places we would address health, right? Food, for instance. We could ask that question. What's the most beneficial food? I'd probably argue pretty clearly that the most beneficial food is the food that God made for us, to a large degree. The biggest change in my life, probably from when I was a kid, and then through my teenage years, and then through college, to today, is probably eating now more than 90% of our meals from the outside loop at the grocery store, which did not used to happen. I was like an aisle eater my whole life, okay? You know what I mean? At the grocery store, just picture yourself going in, and where is the outside? Some of you go like, donuts are on the outside, Nate. Yes, they are, but I'm not talking about those, okay? So step away from the donuts. When I go into the grocery store, it starts with fruits and vegetables when we usually go in, and it works its way to food and to fish and to meat and to dairy products and all that stuff that's pretty much perishable, right? If you take it home and don't cook it or take care of it, it's going bad. Most of our meals now come in that form, and we have to cook them and make them. But that was not my story growing up, because there's nothing actually wrong with the stuff in the aisles as far as what's allowed, right? It's permissible for you to eat Captain Crunch and Hot Pockets your whole life. Like, you could do that. No one's going to arrest you. No one's going to put you in jail. It's permissible. I pretty much grew up on food like that, right? There's nothing morally wrong. But if we ask the question, how can I choose food that's not just permissible, but that's actually beneficial to care for this body that God has given me? One of the easiest things might be just to stick to food that God has made. Simple, easy food. Stuff you could grow, stuff you could raise. You might need to start planning better for that. This was one of my probably downfalls as a kid and a teenager and even through college. I was a terrible planner for food. I was whatever there was is what I would eat. So Hot Pockets are fast, so that's what I would eat. And Pop-Tarts were fast, so that's what I would eat. Macaroni and cheese is fast, that's what I would eat. Anything that like required almost no cooking and was quick, that's what I would eat. Broccoli was horrible. Brussels sprouts could die as far as I was concerned. I mean, anything that you had to cook or that was green was off the table in my life growing up. And some of my hopeful growth in this area has been learning that I need to take time to plan and to prep food. You might have to do that. You might have to set a food budget, maybe more like a dessert budget, What do you do in your life financially when you want to see health in your financial world? You set a budget and you say, I only have this much money this month for entertainment. Maybe you need to say, if you want to maintain health, if you want to ask the question of what's good for you, not just what's permissible, you might say, I can only have this many desserts during the week. I'm going to set a budget for myself. And when you get to that number, whatever it is, then you're done. That's going to be hard. And there's going to be moments in that thing where you're not going to want to stick to it. And that's when you need to pray. When you're in the aisle and you've got to your food budget and there's the Reese's peanut butter cups and you want to check out. I don't know if anybody else has this problem, but they're delicious. You have to ask at that moment, God, I need some strength in this moment. I need to not get the Reese's peanut butter cups. I need to have a banana. I need to eat the apple. I got to do something else. And I probably need someone to walk along this road with me. That might be the biggest encouragement I can give you in the food zone. Get someone who will hold you accountable. Get someone who will walk with you in that process to think about what might be beneficial for me to eat, not just what can I eat, and how do I budget the things that are maybe a little more questionable so I don't eat them as often. We might also think about the same question when it comes to exercise. Not what is permissible, but what is beneficial. Our world is shaped more and more now around being sedentary, meaning sitting. More and more of what we do is sitting. We sit and watch all sorts of things. We watch television, we watch shows, we go to things and we sit and eat, we sit and work, we come to church and we mostly sit. We sit at home, we get in our cars and sit to go somewhere where we're going to sit and do something else. Well, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we sit all the time. Most of our life is spent sitting down. Is that permissible? Absolutely. It's permissible. Is it beneficial? We could make a really good case that it's not. The number of disease and health-related issues that are connected nowadays, as they've done research with our sedentary lifestyle, have just exploded in the last 15 or 20 years. It's why people are starting to have office desks where they stand up now, right? Or they put treadmills at their office desks so they can walk while they're on their computer. I mean, the rise of technology hasn't necessarily been good for our health because it's forced us into these roles. I can personally tell you I felt the weight of this as I've transitioned jobs. I started 10 years ago or more now. I was a campground director, and I was all over the campground all day. I mean, I was out doing maintenance projects. I was running around sites. I was talking to guests. I was walking around. I'd sit down for 5 seconds. I'd go stock the store. It was just nonstop movement. Then I went and managed a restaurant, which you'd think would be sitting, but it's mostly walking. Walking to the cooler, walking to the cooks, walking to take care of someone's problem, walking to check out. I was on my feet 95% of the time. Then I moved into youth ministry. And about 50% of that time turned into sitting time. Sitting, having coffee. Sitting, working on things. Of course, they're teenagers, so we still had tons of fun. We ran around and did all sorts of games, so I was still moving. Then I moved here. You know, like 90% of my job now is sitting down. We sit together and we have coffee. We sit together and we have food. I sit at my computer and I do work. Sit. All the time. I felt it. I felt more tired. I felt a lack of energy. I hurt in places more than I used to. Some of you say you're getting older. I don't think it's just that. It was connected to a lack of health at times. I weighed 7-8 months ago the most I had weighed. That's my son. Sorry, guys. The most I had weighed probably in my life, 7 or 8 months ago, after 3 years of kind of this more just like sitting lifestyle. If we're going to care for our bodies, we're going to have to choose something that is more beneficial than just sitting all the time. We're going to have to choose something that's more beneficial. If it's some kind of regular exercise, especially in a world that's more and more causing us not to be active. And it won't be easy. Anything you do in this zone will be hard. Say you choose a really simple goal, like I'm going to park further away from the store, so I have to walk further. Well, then that's going to take a little more time. You're going to have to haul your groceries a little bit more. I mean, there's going to be something, and you're going to go, I don't know if I really want to do that today. Right? I know it sounds silly, but it'll happen. It will. Or say you're going to add a 15-minute workout to your day, or you're going to get a standing desk. I have one now. You don't want to stand at it all the time. You want to sit down, right? I mean, all of these steps are hard. But the question is not what can I do, not what's permissible for me, but what's actually going to be beneficial? What's going to allow me to care for this body that God has given me? And then invite God into that battle with you. Don't do it by yourself. Ask him by the power. He said what? His spirit is in you. He's with you. Ask him through the strength of his spirit to give you the ability in that moment to choose the harder thing. Whether it's food or some form of activity, maybe you need to start a new plan to get regular exercise in your life. Maybe you need to get a friend and you start small. Something in this area is better than nothing. If you don't have anyone in your life who can continue to encourage you and hold you accountable to that, I'll do it. Fill out a card. I'll send you texts. I'll get on your case nicely, right? Let's do something that will help us take care of this gift that God has given us. Here's what I can tell you for sure. It's worth it. It's worth putting in the hard work. You'll have more energy for the things that God has called you to do. Let me give you one last way that we don't often think about, something that's permissible versus beneficial that relates directly to the care of your body is sleep. You'll spend a third of your life sleeping, probably. And it seems like God made it that way. He didn't design it so you had to sleep. He doesn't sleep. He could have made us so we don't need it either, right? But he did. There's a reminder there first that you're not God. You need to rest, right? The second thing is it's a gift. It's a gift of healing. It's a gift that recharges us. It's a gift that rejuvenates us. I had a Bible professor in college, and every time I talk about sleep, I'll mention him, but in college, he said to us, one of the most spiritual things you might do on a given day is take a nap because you're too tired and you can't do the things that God's called you to do because you can't even focus. And at this point, some of us are going, yes, sleep, spiritual. That's my step, Nate. I'm going to sleep during the sermon. Like, I'm going to bring a pillow next week. Sleep is my step, right? Okay, I'm hoping that that's not what you're going to take out of this. But sleep does affect you. I mean, when was the last time you were next to someone who was really sleepy and you went, man, they're on top of their game? Like, their character is awesome right now, you know? They have a positive attitude right now. They're really lighting it up for God right now. Doesn't happen in my house. I mean, I'm tired and I'm a mess, right? We need to sleep. You might have trained yourself to be able to deal with 5 hours of sleep a night, but you could ask the people around you if that's actually working. Yeah. You need to sleep. It might be permissible. That's the thing, right? You could do it. Is it actually beneficial? Not necessarily. When we received a gift of sleep, it's a gift that God has built into what it means to be human, what it means to be healed. It's a catalyst for health in our bodies. And we need it so we can do the things we need to do. Exercise, find the energy we need to have resolve so we don't just eat junk all day. So here's the dare simply today. I dare you to get in shape, better shape than what you're currently in, whatever that is. It won't look the same for any of us. It won't, because we're all in different spots. But my dare, the double dog dare, is can you take a step in the direction of health today, this week, this month? Can you write it down? Can you commit to it? Because if we're looking to honor God with our bodies, to care for the gift he's given us, if we want to maximize its effectiveness and its longevity for the time we're on this earth, we have to take some steps to care for it. Or we won't be able to accomplish the stuff that God has for us. Not all of it. It doesn't have to do with looking a certain way. It doesn't have to do with being a certain size. None of those things. It just has to do with being healthy, with taking care of the gift that God has given you. Change the way you see your body. See it as a gift. See it as something that God has entrusted you with, something that you know, we all know, we are prone to either idolizing or we are prone to abusing. And choose instead to take care of this thing that God has gifted you. Why is it important? It's not so you look good. It's not so your body becomes an idol. It's just so that you have cared for this wonderful gift. You have maximized its effectiveness in being a tool that God's given you in this life to advance his kingdom. And some of us probably need to take this more seriously than we are. Why? Because you've heard this before, and like other times, you know, this is me. Like every time I heard someone or even myself talk about health, I could feel God poking at things in my life in that moment, and I knew what they were. And I just kind of kept going like, Sometime later, God, it's a lot easier for me to just plop down on the couch when I get home than it is for me to go for a 20-minute walk. It's a whole lot easier for me to just eat that food that's easy than to actually make something. And it was last fall for me that I just said, I got to change this. I'm bending over to tie my shoes and I can't breathe as well. And I'm going, what is going on? This is not okay. I'm playing on the floor with my son and I'm getting tired. That's not okay. I can't do the things. I can't be the man God wants me to be in those situations if I don't start to take care of myself. So I changed some things. I started at a gym because I needed that. It doesn't mean you need that. But for me, I knew I wasn't going to do it if I didn't have someone who was holding me accountable. If I wasn't paying something, so I had to go, so I didn't feel like I was getting ripped off. Like, I needed accountability. 7-8 months later, I can tell you it's worth it. I have energy that I didn't have. I feel better. It doesn't matter what I look like. You can tell me I look terrible. That's fine. That's not what I care about. I care that I feel like I have energy again. I feel like I can play with my son again. We went on a hike yesterday, and I carried him for 3 miles on my back. He weighs 30 pounds now. It didn't bother me. I couldn't have done that before. That's my steps, okay? They're not yours. What are yours? How are you going to care for this body that God has given you? Write it down. I mean that. When God pokes on it, write it down. Start taking some steps. If there's no one to hold you accountable, let me do that for you. I'm not going to be mean about it. I just want to pray with you and encourage you and send you texts to say, hang in there, keep going. You made a good choice. Whatever it is. Because this is valuable. God wants you here. He has purposes for you, and you need your body to do them. Take care of it. Teresa of Avila once said this. She said, Christ has no body now but yours. He has no hands and no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the ears. Yours are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Are you taking care of it so it can be effective? I dare you to take a step in that direction. That's the dare this week. Let's pray. Father, like so many places in your word, when we talk about areas like this, whether it's our health or our finances or our anger, or I mean, we could just go down a list, God, they make us uncomfortable. They make me uncomfortable because we struggle with them, God. Our hearts, we want to go these other ways. It's easier to choose to indulge. It's easier to sort of choose to idolize and get value out of the way that we think we look. There's all sorts of ways we go wrong in this, and I think you're just calling us pretty clearly in Scripture to stay in this middle zone of just caring for this wonderful gift that you've given us. It's this beautiful creation that you've made, this wonderful, just fascinating, mind-blowing thing that is our body. And you've entrusted it to us, and even further for those of us who love you and have called you our Savior and our Lord, you've said that's, you've called dominion over that. You said that's yours. This body that we have is yours, and we're to use it for your purposes and for your kingdom and to care for it. So will you help each of us, wherever we are, to take a step in the direction of caring for it so we might become more and more effective at serving you and at loving you and of doing all the things that you've called us to do. It's not, God, that we would look a certain way. We're not doing any of these steps so we might be more attractive or 100 other things. Those are all good and fine. We're doing them because we just want to care for the body. We want to be able to do the things you've called us to do. We want to be healthy. God, will you remove from anyone's mind or thoughts any sense of judgment over this? Because many of us will feel that. I have felt that in my life. This is not you impressing upon us some sense of judgment, God. This is you as a loving Father saying, let me walk with you. Let me encourage you. Let me help you find ways to care for this gift that you have until someday, God, and I'm thankful for this, we'll have a body that doesn't need that. Thank you. Because it's work right now. Give us each the strength just to ask you for a step, whatever it is, that we could start taking. And we'll trust you for the strength to do it. We'll rely upon you for your grace to be able to achieve it. Pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here. Have a great week.